Let's go out and feel everything. If you hold me, I will let you into my dreams. For time is a river rolling into nowhere. We must live while we can, and we drink our cup of laughter. The finer things keep shining through.
Welcome, everyone, to another edition of Community in Depth, and we are going to go in depth today with Advanced Registered Nurse Practitioner Kieran Olson. She works at the Allina Health Cancer Institute at Hastings, which is a new name for the Cancer Center at Hastings. And we wanted to chat specifically this month about lung cancer because November is Lung Cancer Awareness Month, and it's a very, very tough disease, I know. So I'm anxious to learn more about it. So great to see you. Thanks for coming in today.
Thank you for having me. I'm excited to be here.
Well, wonderful. So I know that lung cancer is really can just be a really tough disease by the time that it is uncovered. And lung cancers can come, can't they, from all sorts of things. It's not necessarily that you were a smoker.
That's true. So lung cancer is the second most common cancer in the United States. And it accounts, though, for significantly more deaths from cancer in the United States.
And why is that, please?
It's because lung cancer notoriously is a more aggressive disease. And oftentimes, by the time it's providing and causing symptoms, and then a person seeks attention for them, the cancer's advanced. And so when it's advanced, it's more difficult to cure. And sometimes it's diagnosed at a stage where it's not considered curable. One of the exciting things that's happened lately is that we now have lung cancer screening programs that are available. They've been available for a few years. We actually are very fortunate because here in this area, the primary care providers are great champions of the program and really are encouraging the appropriate people to come in for lung cancer screenings.
You know, I guess I had never even heard about a lung cancer screening. You hear about colon, you know, cancer awareness and screenings and breast cancer, but this is really new for me anyway.
So lung cancer screenings have not been around nearly as long as screening for breast cancer, screening for colon cancer. So anytime you think about a screening, what we're looking for is a disease that's not yet causing symptoms. And in cancer, the reason that we do that is that we're more likely to find it at an earlier stage then. And if we find it at an earlier stage, we're much more likely to be able to cure it. So lung cancer notoriously doesn't present with symptoms right away.
It doesn't. You would think that people would have a cough or, you know, maybe quite a few people maybe have been smokers and you would think they would have, you know, emphysema or trouble breathing. But you're saying lung cancer really, you can have it without symptoms.
You can have it without symptoms for quite a while. So the lung tissue itself doesn't have nerve endings. So if you've got something that's growing in the middle of the lung, there's nothing really that can trigger, I'm having pain. If it's growing away from one of the large breathing tubes, the airways, then it may not provide symptoms of creating a cough and that type of thing. The common symptoms of lung cancer are a cough, a prolonged cough. It can also be seen when there's coughing up of blood called hemoptysis. There can be chest pain if the cancer is involving oftentimes the outer lining of the lung where there are more nerve endings. Shortness of breath is another one, that another symptom that people often have. But again, if people already have lung disease like COPD or emphysema, then they may have a chronic cough and they may be short of breath. And shortness of breath can be from other types of problems too. It can be from heart disease. So we oftentimes put up with symptoms longer than perhaps we should, thinking that it might be something different than lung cancer.
So of those diseases that you just mentioned, if you have those diseases, are you more likely to have lung cancer?
So the risk factors for lung cancer are, number one, smoking. It's probably the most well-known risk factor, and it's probably the most high risk of those factors. You can also be exposed to radon, which is an odorless gas that's in the ground, and long-term exposure to radon increases some of the risk for cancer. Certain environmental exposures, asbestos, fumes that we understand might be cancer-producing. So some occupational types of hazards can also increase the risk of lung cancer. There are a very few people that actually have a mutation that occurs when they develop lung cancer, and that can also then increase the risk of their developing lung cancer. Smoking by far is probably the highest risk factor, however.
You know, I've heard of people that have lung cancer, and it's usually not just one spot. It seems like it's more than one. And why is that? Because when you have other kinds of cancers, it's usually, I mean, of course, I don't know what I'm talking about, but I usually think about it's just, you know, like one tumor or one whatever. Mm-hmm. And why is it with lung cancer that sometimes people have so many spots?
So when we talk about lung cancer, I'll clarify and say that we're talking about cancer that starts in the lung. You can have cancer in the lung that comes from starting in another place in the body. So oftentimes when people are talking about having lung cancer or describing somebody, especially if there can be multiple places in the lung, one of the things I think about is that really where it started? You can have more than one spot in a lung that would have a primary lung cancer. At some point, it's more unusual for that to happen, and at some point it started from one place. But you are correct, and there are certain types of lung cancers that will have more than one area in the lung that has disease, more often than a non-small cell lung cancer. So small cell is a different kind of lung cancer, much less common than non-small cell, but the small cell is quite aggressive. So you can sometimes see pretty rapid development of a disease in that particular type of lung cancer.
And is the tricky part about lung cancer is that you can't really do a surgery because you need your lungs in a different way than, let's say, you need your breasts?
Not necessarily. So let's talk a little bit, if we can, about the lung screening.
Yes.
And we're looking for lung cancer that has not yet shown any symptoms.
So lung cancer, not necessarily cancer that has spread to the lungs.
When we do the screening, we are looking primarily for lung cancer that has started in the lungs, correct. And the people that are eligible for this screening are individuals who are ages 50 to 80 years of age, who have smoked at least 20 pack years. And the way you figure that up is how many packs a day are smoked times how many years of smoking. So somebody that smoked one pack a day for 20 years has a 20 pack year. A person that smokes a half a pack a day for 40 years has a 20 pack year. So 20 pack year history and are either still smoking or have quit within 15 years. Those are the persons eligible to have this lung cancer screening. The screening is done with a CT scan, which is a common scan that we use for many different reasons.
Is that the laydown one that you go mm-hmm. into the tunnel? And
it's a small tunnel. It's not the big one that makes lots of noises.
Oh, okay.
That's an MRI.
That's right. Okay.
That's right. And it is noisy. Right? The CT scan is smaller. It's a much smaller opening. And so your head would hang out and your feet would hang out of the table, and they would just then x-ray the lungs. And it's called a low dose because the lungs require very little radiation exposure to get a really good picture. So the exposure to radiation is less compared to other types of CT scans that maybe we use to diagnose other parts of the body.
Okay.
So that's where it got its name from. So when we do this low dose lung cancer screening, we're looking for lung cancer. And when we get the results come back, the radiologist puts them in one of four categories. And the categories are based upon the risk that there's a cancer there the likelihood there's a cancer. So category 1 and 2 mean that the lungs either look normal or whatever they see that's abnormal is tiny. 1 millimeter, 2 millimeters, 3 or 4 millimeters. We understand, so a millimeter is about the size of a pencil lead.
Thank you. Okay. Yeah.
So we understand that the risk for there being lung cancer in those two categories is less than 1%, low risk. That person will continue to do one of these low-dose CT scans once a year until they reach age 81. Remember, the screening is for ages 50 to 80.
Oh, yes. Okay.
So age 81, or they have stopped smoking for more than 15 years, so 16 years. Okay. Category 3 means that there's an abnormality in the lung. It's still fairly small. It's usually about a half of an inch or so. We understand that the risk of there being cancer in that finding, in that category, is up to about 15%. So we don't wait a whole year to check again. We check a CT scan in about 6 months. Cancer is a disease of growing cells. So in 6 months' time, we would, if it's a cancer, expect it to be some bigger. And then we would make a decision about what other testing may need to be done. Category 4 means that there is something abnormal in the lung that should be looked at and perhaps worked up sooner rather than later. And the risk of cancer is a whopping 16% to 100%. So clearly not everybody in that category has lung cancer.
Right.
But there is something there that we should go ahead and investigate and make sure it's not lung cancer. Now, the cool thing, I believe, about Allina's lung cancer program is that I, as an advanced practitioner, have what I believe is the luxury of actually presenting these category 4 findings, these higher risk findings, to a group of lung professionals that meet once a week at United Hospital. It's called the Thoracic Conference, and it consists of lung professionals, lung doctors called pulmonologists, lung surgeons, medical oncologists that treat cancer with medicine, radiation oncologists that treat cancer with radiation, other radiologists that read these scans day and day and day out and day out, and then pathologists who, of course, are the physicians that diagnose cancer by looking under the microscope and doing tests and say, this is or isn't cancer and what kind is it. So they meet together once a week, and together they look at these CT images, and based upon their expertise and upon the expertise of other guidelines that are out there, they then provide a recommendation of what the next steps should be for this person that is being presented. And the recommendations usually are to get a different kind of a scan that would show us more metabolic activity, called a PET scan, to get some breathing tests done, and then also to maybe set up for a biopsy of some sort. The biopsies are done depending upon where that mass is at in the lungs. People are comfortably asleep when that happens, so that's one thing that, you know, people often worry about. The breathing tests are done because the primary treatment for early stage lung cancer is surgery. So that gets back to your surgery question.
Okay.
So the primary treatment for early stage lung cancer is to take it out. And they are always in developing new and less invasive ways to be able to take a part of a lung out. Sometimes they have to take a large part. Sometimes they have to take a whole lung out. But that is less and less common to have done. And now they have thoracoscopic instruments that don't have to make these huge incisions. So there's a lot of great options that were not there when I started practicing decades ago, unfortunately, telling my age, but a long time ago. So that's the primary way to treat lung cancer in early stages, is to take it out. And then that person is monitored with scans for the majority of the rest of their life. There are some stages of lung cancer that may be either the size of the tumor or involvement of lymph nodes. There's lymph nodes that are down through the kind of the center of the chest. And if through the scans it appears that there are lymph nodes involvements, or through another type of a test called bronchoscopy, we don't go in and take surgery to take those out typically. Usually that person has a combination of chemotherapy and radiation therapy to treat that. And then after the radiation and chemotherapy are done, we are now treating these stage 3 cancers with a new class of medicines called immunotherapy. And you probably have heard them, seen the commercials on TV, Keytruda, Opdivo. And this new class of drugs is a game changer. So we are finding that immunotherapy after this stage 3 lung cancer diagnosis greatly improves the survival from lung cancer. It reduces the risk of recurrence. And even for persons that have stage 4, and that's considered metastatic, so it's spread someplace else to the body, we're fortunate because we have now found that the immunotherapy agents that we're treating with allow a person to have extended life, and they tolerate the treatment typically pretty well. It doesn't cause the nausea, the vomiting, the profound fatigue, the big drops in the blood counts that we see more traditionally with chemotherapy. So they're able to live oftentimes a bit more extended life, and their quality of life is better because the treatment side effects are more tolerable. So it's wonderful. It's a wonderful new class of drugs that we're using. Ideally, if we can prevent lung cancer, that's what we want to do. And the way to prevent it is to not smoke, for one. If you are a smoker and you quit, then you do reduce your risk of lung cancer, because the longer you smoke, the higher your risk goes. You remain elevated risk compared to somebody that doesn't smoke, but it does, you know, it does reduce the risk. And it reduces the risk for heart disease. It reduces the risk for other kinds of lung problems. We know that smoking also affects and is a risk factor for other kinds of cancers. So for breast cancer, for bladder cancer, smoking does increase the risk of those as well. So to prevent lung cancer, one of the first things we really try to talk about is smoking cessation. And there are lots of different means of doing that we may or may not have time to talk about. Certainly healthy lifestyles. Thank goodness we now have occupationally asbestos abatement, where we didn't used to have that. There are radon detectors for homes that can detect higher levels, and then there can be some mitigation strategies to find a way to vent the radon out of a home, which reduces the risk of that kind of exposure for lung cancer. So there's a lot that can be done. Healthy lifestyles, maintaining a more ideal body weight, physical activity, all of those kinds of things. Healthy eating, fruits, vegetables, plant-based diets, all of that helps.
So if there's somebody out there listening that thinks perhaps they could benefit from this, do they have to have symptoms?
You shouldn't have symptoms.
Oh,
yes.
This is good news. That's okay. Good.
You should not have symptoms. If you do have symptoms, we would probably do a different type of a test and use a different type of a scan for testing. So again, the criteria for this screening is ages 50 to 80, smoked at least 20 pack years, so one pack a day for 20 years or more, and are either currently smoking or have quit within the last 15 years. Those are the criteria. So you don't have to have a cough. In fact, we wish you wouldn't. You don't have to be having chest pain. Again, we hope that we find it, if it is lung cancer, before you're having those symptoms. It's like a mammogram. Oftentimes when we find cancer in a mammogram, it's because they're teeny tiny, and that's when we want to find it, and that's how we want to find lung cancer.
You know, how wonderful that you have this ability to help detect this right here in Hastings.
Yes.
Really great to see you again. Thank you so much. Our guest today is Karen Olson. She's an advanced registered nurse practitioner at the Allina Health Cancer Institute in Hastings. And November is Lung Cancer Awareness Month. So if you have any questions or want to follow up, please do so with your primary doctor. And it's just really, really great to know that we're in such good hands here. Thank you. Great to see you. And you are listening to another edition of Community in Depth on AM 1460 and FM 97.7 KDWA in Hastings.